morning. It's good to be with you, and I appreciate your presence as we come together at this portion of the hour to study from God's Word. It's good to be able to do that on this Sunday morning, and I'm encouraged that we can gather together. Lord willing, this evening I want to begin a series of some lessons from the book of Daniel, and I would like to look at the part of the book that we normally don't look at and that we may not be familiar with, and that is chapters 7 through 12. And so I mentioned that this morning in case this afternoon you'd like to spend a little time reading Daniel chapter 7. We'll be looking at that this evening, and I hope that that study will be encouraging for us. But this morning we have something a little bit different than that, and I hope that our message from God's Word will be encouraging. I'm impressed every time that I read in my Bible how often it is when you're reading a particular story or narrative or account, how often that some of the smallest details make some of the biggest lessons. Some of the maybe minute details or details that appear to be insignificant, they are actually very large lessons. And this morning we're going to look at an example of that from the life of Boaz and Ruth, if you'll turn with me this morning to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. When you're reading your Bible, look for those things. Look for the small words or phrases or thoughts that are mentioned and ask yourself, why is this in the Word of God? And sometimes even things that appear to be insignificant or irrelevant or maybe just sort of like a side point, they actually are very profound. And there's an example of that in today's lesson in Ruth chapter 2. Of course, you recall how that Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem because of a famine, and they went to Moab with their two sons, and those two sons married. And the father dies and the two boys die, and Naomi has her two daughters-in-law left. And one chooses to stay in the land of Moab, and the other, Ruth, chooses to come back with her to Bethlehem. And they come back not having a whole lot. And they're hungry. They're poor. They don't have a whole lot, and they need something to eat. And we find in chapter 2 that Boaz has, he's a wealthy man, he has a field, he's a farmer, and he's going to allow Ruth to glean or gather grain so that they have something to eat. And then of course we know the rest of the story in chapters 3 and 4, how that eventually Boaz and Ruth marry, they become a part of the lineage of Christ, they have a son named Obed, and Obed has a son Jesse, and Jesse has a son David, and so forth, all the way down to the line of Christ. And they're mentioned in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew chapter 1. But in Ruth chapter 2, of course, we have the story about how that Boaz is treating Ruth very kindly. And there's a statement that is made in this chapter that I want us to consider for our admonition this morning in our service to Christ. I want us to be like Boaz this morning in our service to Christ and others around us. The text reads in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her reapers, and her hap or her lot was to light on the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Jehovah be with you. And they answered him, Jehovah bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, let me glean, I pray you, and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from the morning until now, save that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither pass from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found favor in thy sight, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people that thou knewest not hitherto for. Jehovah recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Jehovah, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to take refuge. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken kindly unto thy handmaid, though I be not as one of thy handmaids. And at mealtime Boaz said unto her, Come here and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and they reached her parched grain, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left thereof. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And also pull out some for her from the bundles, and leave it, and let her glean, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Of course, the rest of the chapter, she goes back to Naomi, and Naomi is impressed as to how much she has gleaned and how successful she is. This morning I want to focus in on verse 16 in a lesson that I've entitled Handfuls of Purpose, and this is taken from the King James. Boaz is not just simply a nice man. This morning we're not going to focus on his kindness. He's kind to her. You can have anything to drink if you need a drink. You can glean. Verse 14, you can come in and have a meal. He's a very kind person, but we're not going to talk about his kindness this morning. He's also a godly man. He clearly believes in the Lord and follows the Lord's word. Verse 4, Jehovah be with you. He's a spiritual man and a religious man and a godly man, but we're not going to focus on that this morning. He's even willing to show kindness to a foreigner. He understands that she's from the land of Moab, but we're not going to focus on that this morning. We're going to focus on verse 16. We're going to focus this morning on the fact that this man was a man of purpose, intention, and he did things deliberately. I want to encourage us this morning to be people of purpose, where we get up each day and we intentionally and we deliberately make plans to serve Christ and our fellow brethren and even those out in the world. We do that intentionally. We do that deliberately. We focus and plan ahead that this is what we're going to do, and we do it. Look at verse 16. The text says in verses 15 and 16 that Boaz commanded that grain be taken out and purposely given to her, where they would deliberately drop the grain so that she could have something to pick up. It's one thing to be nice, but it's another thing to be intentionally nice. It's one thing to do things for the Lord and for our brethren, but it's another thing to plan ahead and deliberately and intentionally make sure that we do that. And that's what I want to encourage us on this morning. The American Standard reads in verse 16, "And also pull out some for her from the bundles and leave it." Some of the other versions read this way, pull out some of the heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose. This man intentionally and deliberately made sure of his kindness. Drop them on purpose. Literally in the Hebrew, it is draw out, draw out. The verb is mentioned twice. And so some versions take one of those times and put the word purpose in there. And that's the idea here. Do it, do it. Make sure you do it. And so they put the word purpose in there. So you get the idea then of what's going on here is that they're commanded to be cutting that grain and they're bundling it up. And somewhere along the way, they deliberately and purposely put some back on the ground so that Ruth can come along and get it. Brethren, I want us to be people of purpose, deliberately acting in a good way, intentionally acting in a good way. I want our young people to grow up and be people like that. And that's going to be our encouragement this morning. Instead of getting up and randomly maybe doing something or not doing something, and instead of being a member who may or may not, we are going to purposefully and deliberately and intentionally work together in the Lord's cause. Another version reads this way: you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles. Make it happen. It could have been after they had gone a little ways in the row. It could have been at the end of the row. It could have been at the end of the day, whatever. But you take some out and you make sure she gets some. Is that how we serve the Lord? That's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to serve with purpose. And we're going to see in just a moment that that's what God wants of us. Another version reads, let grain fall from the bundles, fall purposely for her. And notice in verse 15 that this was a command. And even if you didn't have a version with the word purpose in it, like my version, that's the point of verses 15 and 16. He's commanding them to make this happen. So even if our version doesn't have the word purpose in it, that's the idea of those two verses. Make it happen. And what a beautiful approach that is to life. His kindness is great. His religious service to the Lord is great. The fact that he takes in a foreigner is great. But I want to focus on this intentionality here that I want us to have in our lives as we serve the Lord. Another version reads, drop some handfuls deliberately. I like that. Drop some handfuls deliberately. A Jewish version, the Jewish Publication Society, that actually goes back to the early 1900s, reads this way, and also pull out some for her of purpose from the bundles. And then last of all, from which I've entitled the lesson, the King James reads this way, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Our lesson this morning is handfuls of purpose. And when we go through our actions, be it the Lord's Supper that we just went through, our singing, our giving, even Paul uses the word in 2 Corinthians, we'll see in a minute. Everything has a purpose, has an intention, has a deliberate act with it, where my mind and my body are engaged, I'm planning ahead, I'm purposely doing, I'm purposely saying what's coming out of my mouth and the service that I'm giving. And that's what the Lord wants of us. And Boaz is a great example. At the end of the day, when Ruth got what she got, it was because Boaz had made a deliberate, intentional arrangement. You know, sometimes people do things and Things get done, but it's not because it's deliberate or intentional. I can think, for example, sometimes things get done accidentally. They just kind of coincidentally or accidentally get done. That's not what's happening here. It wasn't an accident that Ruth was able to glean as much as she did. You know, sometimes people are forced into doing things. Somebody's always on them about doing something. And they'll do it because somebody's always on them about doing that. But that's not what's happening to Boaz. Nobody's forcing Boaz to do this. He could have kept more grain for himself. He could have said, you know, the less that I allow somebody to glean, that's more for me. I can sell more at the market later. But then somebody came along and forced him to, you know, give this. No, wasn't that? He purposely planned this. And that shows that it's a higher degree of character and love. Any of us can do things by accident. Any of us can do things because somebody is always on us. Or it could be just simply a ritual or a routine. We just sort of going through the things each and every week and we just sort of go through that mindlessly. Things can get done in those kinds of ways. But God is looking for us to be like Boaz, where we intentionally sign up to do something. Where we intentionally volunteer to do something. When we deliberately plan with the elders to do something. That's what He's looking for. And that's what I want to encourage us along those lines this morning. Handfuls of purpose. Purpose. What a great example from Boaz. What happens when people do things purposely? Let's look at a couple of things right here in this text, and then we'll look at some other places in the Bible. What happens when people intentionally and deliberately and purposefully do things? Well, first of all, more of God's will gets fulfilled. More commands get obeyed. More biblical principles get followed. We obey more in our Bible. Those things in the Bible maybe that we haven't been doing, we get up and start doing them. Why did Boaz do this? Because the law required him to allow to glean. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, and there's other passages in the law of Moses. And when we're intentional and when we're deliberate, we're going to see that we're fulfilling more of God's law. We're obeying more commands. We're carrying out more New Testament Bible passages because we want to deliberately obey God. We want to make sure this law gets fulfilled. In that passage there in Leviticus 19, two things are mentioned. The fact that the poor would be recipients of it, and even the sojourner. And Ruth was both. She and Naomi didn't have a whole lot at this time, and she was a Moabitess. She was from another place. When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither thou shalt gather the fallen fruit of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Jehovah your God. And one reason this law got obeyed by Boaz was because he was intentional about that. We will actually be obeying more of God's word if we can be more intentional and deliberate. And that's always a good thing. A second thing that will happen when we are people of purpose is that it's the way to show genuine love. If you look at this chapter, you come on down to verse 20, it's clear that Boaz, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. It's clearly that Boaz is showing his love here and his kindness. But to purposely make sure that Ruth gets some grain, that's really genuine love. Nobody's forcing him to do that. If he were forced, then what is that? Or if it was just purely accidental or coincidental, this deliberate actions show genuine love for one another. When the husband or the wife intentionally and deliberately does something nice for the other, then we know that that came from a genuine love. But when they were forced to do it, then we say, well, thank you, but you know, we know that it wasn't really planned. We view intentional and deliberate actions as being that which shows genuine love. And that's what we want toward God and toward one another. If I get up each day and I deliberately and plan to do something nice for you and for the Lord, and vice versa, you do that to me, then we know that it's coming from a heart of love. It was planned. It was purposeful. It was special. And that's what purposeful actions do. When we are people of purpose and intention, then we get more done. We'll find not only will we be obeying and fulfilling God's law more, but we'll find that we're getting more done. We typically, that's true even around the house and with our own personal affairs, that when we deliberately and intentionally plan things, we get more done. Otherwise, the day blows by and we just really didn't get a whole lot done. But when we have purposes and plans and intentions and we're deliberate, we'll accomplish that. And there's always more of the Lord's work that we can be doing. You remember in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 5 that God's people around 536 or so B.C., they begin to lay the foundation of the temple there and they got started on it. And then the text says that different counselors were hired to frustrate the purposes of the Jews. Got them sidetracked off of their work and they stopped that work for about 16 years or so. And they didn't work on the temple. And in Ezra chapter 5, Haggai and Zechariah have to come along and stir them up and get them to finish the temple. But when they were on purpose, when they had plans and purposes and intentions and they were deliberate, they were working. And so the counselors, they went after their purposes because they know that if we can attack that, then we get them to stop working and you don't get things done. We'll get more things done in the Lord's work if we'll be deliberate and intentional. If we will come up on our own with the item that needs to be done, and we, like Boaz, go and make it happen. Let's be like Boaz in that regard. Nobody had to tell Boaz to do this. Nobody had to suggest it. Nobody had to pressure him or encourage him. He was just a person of intentional purpose and a great example for us. We'll get more things done in the Lord's work. And there's always evangelism and edification and being benevolent toward needy saints. There's always things that we can be doing. And if we'll have that intention and that plan and that deliberation, those things will come to fruition. You know, people that have purposeful actions, they also are just nice and help others in situations. You recall in Nehemiah chapter 8, after the walls are rebuilt and God's people want to hear from the Word of God, it could be just small things that come about in small ways that we help others and volunteer to do things and be available to help situations. And here's a small act, for example. They wanted to hear the Word of God from Ezra. And so the text says that he read therein before the broad place that was before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women. And in verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Who built that? Did that just accidentally happen? Some men, maybe some women, got together. And they said, look, we want to hear from the Word of God. Now, there's a bunch of people.
And Ezra is going to have to be up a little bit where we can hear him. So let's build him a pulpit of wood. We've got a purpose that needs to take place here. And so they got it made. We'll just be more helpful. And we will pitch in and serve and make sure that situations are good and helpful for everybody involved. There was a purpose, and they built a pulpit. Small D, just some wood put together where he could stand up on that and maybe have a place to put the scrolls or something. Not a big earth-shattering thing, but just people are being helpful. It makes us more helpful. It makes us volunteer. It makes us get in and do things with other people to make situations happen. You know, when we are people of purpose, it helps us also to maintain our purity. We've been talking about this a lot in the high school class with our young people. We've been talking about the highway to holiness and living holy lives. And we will be pure. We won't get caught up in sexual sin. Or we studied this morning about anger and lack of self-control. We've talked about alcohol and other kinds of things. And our young people have to be on guard, and those of us who are older as well. But if we will intentionally get up each day and deliberately have a heart and a mind that we're going to live right today, it helps us to stay pure. It keeps us from finding ourselves out on a date and we're doing something we shouldn't do. It keeps us from finding ourselves in a situation where we lose our self-control. We've already planned ahead of time, deliberately and intentionally, that we're going to serve the Lord. And so we don't find ourselves with that unwanted pregnancy or with, you know, the violence or the lashing out or putting something in our body we should. Because we've decided in advance that we are going to intentionally be a person of purpose. That doesn't happen just simply by accident. And so it actually helps us to maintain our purity. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17. It's actually the opposite. When we aren't deliberately planning ahead, that we find ourselves in trouble. But in Psalm 17 and verse 3, we have this matter of purpose and how that it helps us with our own personal moral purity. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried and found nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I am purposed. I've made up my mind. I am intentionally and deliberately not going to transgress with my mouth today. And you know, with that attitude, we probably won't. We probably won't transgress with our mouth. And we know from Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, that's one of the parts of Daniel that we know about, that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dainties. Here's a young person who decides in advance. He was deliberate about that. And that's why he didn't do it. It helps us to maintain our purity. I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to read my Bible today, and I'm going to live for Jesus today. And I'm going to guard my tongue today and my heart and my thoughts. And it helps us to be the kind of person we need to be. If we look back over our lives and we find those occasions, maybe when we did sin and transgress and fall into a temptation, it was probably a situation where we weren't deliberately acting, but letting something else get in the way. And when Nebuchadnezzar asks Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is there some purpose that you're not bowing down to my idol? Chapter 3 and verse 14. And they said, yeah, there's a purpose for this. We don't engage in idolatry. There's a reason for this. And they were young men of purpose, and so they remained pure. And, you know, it really makes for happier service. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We all want to be happy in our service to Christ. We want Christianity to be joyful and happy. And you know that
being a person of purpose will actually help that. Where we enjoy coming to assemble and we enjoy serving the Lord during the week and we enjoy the different acts of worship that we engage in. If we are deliberate and intentional, it actually makes for a happier Christian. The example that Paul uses here is that of giving, but we could apply that to anything that we do. Let each man do according as he is purposed in his heart. He's planned ahead. I'm deliberate and intentional in not only how much that I'm going to give, but that I want to give. And then look at what it keeps us from. Not grudgingly or of necessity. The word there literally means of sorrow, where you're just sorrowful that you're having to give this contribution. If we're purposeful, it keeps us away from that. And then God loves a cheerful giver. What kind of a giver? A giver that's not just cheerful, but that is purposeful. And the purposing leads to the cheer. You know that we're happier when we intentionally do something. We deliberately plan it. We're excited about it. We want to fulfill it. We want to help someone or we want to do something for someone. And we're always happier when it's something that's deliberate. And it just makes us to be a happier Christian. It also provides an opportunity to encourage others. When Paul was in prison and he wrote the prison epistles, he was confined by this Roman prison, house arrest. He couldn't get out and go visit the churches. And so in Ephesians 6:22 and Colossians 4:8, he says that I've made it a purpose to send Tychicus unto you that he may tell you of our estate and that you may be comforted. We're going to talk in just a minute about Paul. He was a man of purpose. But there was a purpose behind him sending Tychicus, and that was so that these brethren could be comforted. It helps others. It encourages others. When we will deliberately and intentionally plan to do things for others. It's just a nice thing. And everyone's encouraged. And of course, we can all use that. So this morning, brethren, from Boaz, I want us to be persons of purpose. And when we do things, let it come not from accident, not from being forced, not from a ritual or routine, but because we get up each day and we deliberately and intentionally plan to do something that's going to be in the Lord's service or in the help of others. God was like that. Do you know that you and I are here today? Because God, before Genesis 1:1, it was the three members of the Godhead and absolutely nothing else in the universe. That right there boggles my mind. I don't even know how that works. For God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to be eternal and have absolutely no material around them, that boggles my mind. But even before Genesis 1:1, God purposed that there would be a plan to save mankind when they sinned. And you and I are sitting here this morning as a result of that. We're not here because of accident. We're not here because of coincidence or somebody forced God. He saves us because of His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ. Ephesians 1:9, Ephesians 3:11. It was His purpose to do what He did with Jesus on the cross. What a beautiful thing. And we're the recipients of that. Deliberate. Intentional. Planned and advanced. And we're the recipients of that. The Scripture also tells us that He purposes to punish those who disobey. One example in Lamentations 2 and verse 8 was that He purposed to destroy Jerusalem and Judah for their ungodliness in the Babylonian captivity. This is intentional. And this is what He wants us to be as well. Jesus was a person of purpose. There are
texts that say that his eye was on Jerusalem. He steadfastly went forward. He kept his eye on the goal. He kept his eye on the mission. Everything he said or did was intentional and deliberate to go to the cross to save mankind.
In Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, I must go elsewhere, for this is the purpose for which I came, one version says. Turns me to John chapter 12 and verse 27 when Jesus is praying to His Father. My soul is troubled. Father, save me from this hour. But then He immediately realizes, but for this purpose came I unto this hour. Jesus was intentional, and we're the recipients of that. He stayed focused on going to the cross for all mankind. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, one of His purposes, one version says, was to destroy the works of the devil, and we're so thankful that He did that. The Apostle Paul was a person of purpose. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. And he wanted Timothy to follow that. He wanted Timothy to follow that in him. You think about all the good things that the Apostle Paul is known for. We couldn't even begin to list all of the things that the Apostle Paul is known for. But one thing I want to zone in on this morning is this matter of purpose. And he says to Timothy, you did follow my teaching. Of course, that's a great thing. Paul's teaching and his epistles. Conduct. All the things that Paul did. Purpose. Look at that. Underscore that in your Bible. You followed my purpose. Paul was a purposeful individual. That's why he accomplished so much in his lifetime for the Lord. Look at all of the journeys and all of the travels and all of the things that he wrote and all of the persecutions that he went through. He deliberately and intentionally went into all of that, and that's why he accomplished so much good. And we can do the same. There are different places in the book of Acts where it said that he purposed in the Spirit to go here and to go there. In Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians 1, he's always talking about his purpose to do this and his purpose to do that. Paul was not accidental or random, but goal-oriented, like Jesus and like God. And of course, as we close this morning, we are to be that same way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and we'll close. You remember when the disciples were called Christians there first at Antioch and a church is formed. And Barnabas comes, the son of exhortation, and he comes to these new Christians. Out of all the things that he could have said or done to get this new church off the ground, what's the one thing that he focuses on? He focuses on the very thing that we're talking about this morning, the thing that will help all new Christians and all of us. When he showed up, Acts 11:23, what did he do? When he was come and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all. Out of all the things that Barnabas could have said, you need to build a church building real quick. Is that what he said? You need to have a large contribution on the first Sunday. Is that what he didn't bring up money? He didn't bring up the church funding. What he brought up was the very fundamental thing that would help them. And that is with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. With that right there, you'll get started right and you'll keep going right. Purpose of heart. As we close this morning, let's go out encouraged, borrowing from the King James, to give handfuls of purpose to the Lord and to others. Let's be intentional and deliberate in our service to God and to others, and great things will happen in our life. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. And maybe you need to be intentional or deliberate to come to the Lord and be baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God to come back in some way. Be deliberate about that and it will happen. And this week, let's go out with handfuls of purpose each and every day. And we'll see our maturity grow, our spirituality will grow, our service to God will grow, and He'll be certainly pleased with us. What a great example in Boaz, and I hope that we can all follow him today. If we can help you in some way, if we can encourage you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?